This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
9:02 in the nation's capital. 106.7 The Fan. Overtime. Doc Walker on the microphone, and Big Ben Strober, who has been dynamite today. He has been, I guess he's working like the octopus. I'm going to start calling him the octopus. I don't know how the hell he's doing all these things that he's doing. He's recording podcasts. He's editing. He's doing phones. He's commentating. He's doing a whole lot. And then he's getting set to travel out to the West Coast. And you pumped?
I'm so stoked, man. Like, it's been a dream of mine to even broadcast an NCAA tournament game. When I got to Maryland, I knew, okay, there's a student radio here that I can call games for. If I get into that, if I get good enough, I'll get to call basketball. And just hopefully we'll have a good enough team for a couple years that I'll get a chance to go out there. And here we are, finally my senior year. I wasn't able to go for the first weekend because I was out of town. And I was sitting there yesterday going, oh, man, we need a big moment here so I can get a chance to do this so we can move on and keep this madness, this run going. And Derek Queen, yeah. Derek Queen is sending me to San Francisco. Shout out to him.
Yeah, punch your ticket.
Got the flights already.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that's had the pleasure of covering this madness, this period of hoops, you never get over it. Because of Georgetown and Maryland and George Mason's runs, GW's runs with Yinka Dare, deep runs, I've had a chance to, you know, tag on and be a part of some of it. It's just so exhilarating. The energy that it generates is amazing, just absolutely amazing. And so it's big, and it changes your life. It really does. To see how excited people get and the camaraderie. No, no group of people are perfect, but I'll tell you one thing that we do a damn good job at, and that is this support for the alma maters. And also, I'm so proud of the fact that we have picked up our game and supported the women's game, and it has flourished. And it is such a high level of competition that it's such an enjoyable watch. I mean, it's game, man. It's you're gonna really, really, really enjoy it. If you now you're lucky, are you gonna actually be in the arena to see it or in an auxiliary?
I'll be in
area?
There. I'll be live doing the play-by-play of the game.
Okay, good. So you got full access.
The energy is gonna be
all right.
Exactly
well,
where I want it.
If you get a chance to see the legendary Johnny Holiday.
Oh, he's a good friend.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah, he's the best, man. That Hall of Fame broadcast, Naki and Williams, it's, I'm just, you know, he does football. He does everything. I mean, that's why he's a world-class broadcaster. But I sure miss those days of messing around with him before Jefferson Pilot, we doing ACC and football games and going in there and clowning with him and his crew was just so many memorable moments. The guy can be so good at so many different sports. Yeah, real, 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 real talent. Oh. Speaking of real talent, Bob Carpenter, I mean, my era, obviously, I'm four times older than you are, so baseball was what I grew up with. And the AM radio was what was available. Broadcasters are like gods through radio and listening to baseball calls. I had Vin Scully for my whole upbringing. I had Vin.
I'm lucky that I got to hear him a bit as well.
Legend. And Bob Carpenter, see you later. Man, today, and I'm happy for him. You know, he's got grandkids, family. He wants to give his life back to his family. Because literally, as you know, in this business, your family takes the beating. Because that's why coaching, and when I see these coaches, and the guy who really is a poster child for me is looking at Michigan State. And when I see how much time these legends put into this, that's time they're away from their families. And their families become recruiting classes. And so when Bob announced that this morning, and when I heard it, you know, waiting on them, the game obviously didn't happen with the O's. Yeah. So you got that call?
Yes, sir. You want to hear
it
right now?
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear, Bob.
It's good to be back in our ballpark. And as we do, I've got a little personal news to share with you. The 2025 season will be my final one as the Nats' primary TV play-by-play guy, whatever you like to call me. I'm okay with that. But I've got a new deal working for next year as a full-time husband, dad, and grandpa. And it's been pretty cool to have the kids around for the last couple of months after they moved home from Seattle. So my objective is to, all season long, thank you, Nats fans, for the way that you've been to my wife, Debbie, and I, and our family over these 19 years previously. Let's make number 20 a lot of fun. I'm sure next year at this time, I'll be a little melancholy and a little bit sad with opening day approaching, but feeling like I'm doing the right thing for my family, and that's good enough for all of us. And it's also, this year, going to be my fourth year with this guy who's going to come sliding in.
I've always wanted to do that. Guns out.
That's cool. Dude, man, I love that sound. Love that. So you done baseball?
Baseball is probably the main thing. I've spent two summers now on Cape Cod calling some of the best that college baseball has to offer. I've made some relationships with players that are going to be
Does
big
Toby
makers.
Know this?
Yeah, Toby knows. Toby knows all about it. Grant was steamed up to find out that I broadcast it on the Cape. Man, there's some real good players up there on Cape Cod, and some of them that I called games for this year are going to be drafted in the first round, so it's so incredible. Baseball is an incredible sport to broadcast, and that's why I admire Bob Carpenter so much, because he's just such a good storyteller. He always made you feel like you were sitting right there with him at the game, no matter what. And that takes real talent to do. That's something that I'm trying to learn how to do when I call baseball. And for him to do it for all 20 years that the Nationals have been here in our nation's capital, it's special. And I'm glad that, you know, the whole Masson thing is finally coming to an end. I'm glad that, you know, he's going out on his own
terms.
What an
albatross that was.
Yeah,
people will never realize.
He's going out on his own terms with it, which I really like.
Yeah, it's the one thing that the baseball announcer becomes such an intricate part of the community. I don't know why it's so different than every other sport, but it really is. And well, I guess add the number of games, knucklehead. There's so many more games. And, you know, Vic, who our leader of the pack, and Vic produced last Sunday. And I get to work with Victor maybe, you know, two or three times a year. When he starts, man, it seems like it's a year later, and Vic's there's so many games. And when you're producing that from the house, I mean, it's a grind, but I just love it. I was so glad that they changed that, shifting the rules of certain things, you know, that happen with the game.
Yes.
I don't know where I just, reducing the officials to mannequins and going with these automatic strikes and zones. Where do you stand on that technology?
I like the little replay system thing that they've had going on in spring training where you can challenge. I like the human aspect of having the umpires call balls and strikes. I think it's just, it's part of baseball. I think going completely robo would be a little weird, and it would feel a little, is it weird to say dystopian in a way that you got a robot calling balls and strikes every time? It seems off to me.
Well, it's about where are we going. I mean, you know.
I don't know if I like
it. I'm from the era where you roll your window down. Now it's automatic. I mean, now cars are electric. I mean, you're not fighting progress. The question is, can we get it right? Why can't we? And I feel this way about officiating in a number of different areas, especially football. Why can't we evaluate people that fail and don't do a good job and get rid of them? If you consistently miss holding and miss calls, or you can't get yourself in a position because you're not athletic enough to be able to get to where you need to be in spot and you miss calls, shouldn't there be consequences for people who don't do a good job and aren't evaluated? I just think that there's a gap. We don't seem to be, and maybe we are, maybe I'm just out in left field on this, but why are we paying people what we're paying now for the athletes? Then we ought to have been expanding that through officiating, and everything should be paid more, and the demand for excellence should be increased.
Absolutely. I think the one thing that pisses me off the most about, you mentioned holding, it's a penalty that officials only call when they want to call it. They hold on almost every play. It's just a matter of, do they want to call it? It's given the situation. I know they say they're always going to call it at the point of attack, but sometimes I don't even see it that way. I just see it that they call it when they feel like it. And there needs to be a fundamental change. There needs to be better evaluations on how officials are essentially looked at from this standpoint, because it gets ridiculous to a point when we're not taking away these positions of power for people that have not performed well at their job.
Well, I was thinking about the Minnesota Viking game we saw where guy's face mask, lineman's face mask.
Oh, the Rams game, right?
Yeah, he almost got his helmet turned like the Exorcist. Wasn't called. But yet we have the ability through these cameras that we have we can see things. We got people in New York or New Ham, wherever they are, that are looking at it. But yet we don't change calls. I guess there's a category of like nitpicking, but things that you would like to see changed. Things that you would like to see changed that from the outside, and maybe I'm wrong, but just seem like you wouldn't have to change considerably. You wouldn't have to jump over the moon to change it. Why don't we just fix it?
I thought
the shifting, when we took the shift out, I loved that.
Oh, yeah.
But we did it because these guys don't know how to control the bat. You think Rod Carew? You think Tony Gwynn? If you shifted on them brothers, they'd just hit the ball where you ain't. I was stunned at how little bat control MLB showed. Well, they just stumped. They had to change the rule.
You know what makes me happy, though, Doc? Our big fella in D.C., James Wood. He doesn't have any problem controlling the bat. No, he might have a problem hitting at the opposite field too much. And I don't think that's actually a real problem. That's not, if anyone thinks that's a problem, you're crazy. Because if you have a guy that can hit 20 home runs or more in a season, hitting them all to the opposite field, you're looking at
run the bases.
A hitting coach's dream. I already predicted it. I've been on a couple places where I've put on the record that James Wood is going to be a 30 home run, 30 stolen base guy this year. I see it. I've already seen it. I think the kid has so much potential and raw power and speed, as you mentioned, and he makes it look effortless. I think that's going to be the formula for them to win baseball games this year. If you get James Wood on base, vice versa the other guys, if they can steal like they did in the first half last season, they're going to be good. They're going to win some games next year. I'm looking forward to Thursday and beyond.
I'm glad you brought him up. He in a similar way, we've been talking about big guys that are smooth. And this dude, he can run like a deer. And he's got back control. Yeah, he's freakish. You're right. He's one of these guys that, does he ever look like he's never looked like he's, he runs fast, but he never looks like he's out of control.
And Doc,
he's smooth.
I've known about James for a long time because he's a local kid. I have a lot of friends that played travel baseball with him growing up, and that's always been the case with him. The parents watching the game say, "Why? How is this kid hitting the ball over the 250-foot fence and running all over the place? How does he get to first base in three strides? It doesn't even look like he's trying." And that's just how he is. He's not lethargic. He's not mailing it in.
He
is just that good.
No, he's smooth. If that's how you define athleticism, he's got it. No, he's smooth. It's really happy to see that worked out. As much as Soto being gone, loved him, but just honored to be able to follow that season, getting that chip, man. What a year! And that's why seeing Bob saying this is the last one. How cool would that be to make this a special one? Let's take a break. Brother Holder is going to join us, step back in. We're going to get his commentary on it. Things that make you want to go, and there are a number of those. He will be so excited because of Terrapin. Lady Terrapins were successful, and it's all about Terps going nuts. So stay with us right here on Overtime. We'll be right back. Sporting event in town, in the DMV. If it's hot, he's there. Lady Terps on the floor, I guarantee you that Lou Holder was there. And courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, he's not going to share his knowledge with us. Filing a three-point shooter with time running out, I wonder what you said and could you scream out loud at the time?
I can't say that on the air.
I know.
Hey, Doc.
I can't
say that on the air. I'm sorry. I don't want the FCC coming after you. Nah. That was March. That was March. I mean, that was just part of the whole overall up and down of that game. I mean, the last game at Xfinity Center for those ladies ended up being the best one of the whole bunch. I mean, everything, Doc. They were up by 10, down by 17. Mm-hmm. Sarah Ashley Barker, I mean, 45 points. Doc!
She's serious. When she knocked those three
ice water in the veins.
The look on her face, stone cold killer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good time to be in College Park. It's a good time to be in College Park. I mean, when that
yes, it is.
When Selection Sunday, when I was there, you could just tell the relief that Brenda had and the team had knowing that they were going to host, because Brenda knows that you're going to need that crowd at some point. And my goodness, Doc, that crowd would not let those women lose. It was fun to behold. It was fun to behold. So, it was good. It was a good one. It was a good one. So now the men and the women, I remember when I was up at UConn, the men and women went to the Sweet 16 in the same year. Karam Butler was up there playing with the men, and Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird and Swing Cash. And it was just fun to be in that thing. This is what's happening now. With these two, you know, it's just a fun time to be in College Park. So that's 12 Sweet 16s for Brenda. Again, as I told you, you cannot write the story of women's college basketball in this country without mentioning the sustained success of Brenda Freeze. Now, they're going up against Dawn Staley in South Carolina. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But the fact that they were, it's a 4-5. It wasn't like it was a 13. I mean, Alabama was good.
Right.
Alabama was good, but they didn't have any players on the floor at the end. I mean, they fouled them out. I mean, it was a, what is it, the something of attrition, the a game of attrition. Mm-hmm. Who was standing at the end? And Cheyenne Sellers, the one that wanted it the most, she was on the floor at the end when it mattered. And drama, up and down, everything. Oh, it was great. It was great. You dropped a Martian into planet Earth and told him, hey, what is Martin? Can I explain to you what March Madness is? You show him that game. You show him the last two Maryland games and say, any questions?
Yeah, could you feel the after effect of what the men had done? Was that a buzz? Was it mentioned? We were sitting here, and Ben and I were looking. Ben said, you know, he's following up. And I said, oh, my God, you're right. We get engaged in this, and we thought it was they were up by 10, then they're not, then they're down. And then we see, and I started thinking, man, so that's where the doctor is. And yeah. I got to believe that that place has got to be on buzz.
So, Doc, you know that a 5 o'clock tip in the DMV, that's a tough road, right?
Man, it's tough. Yeah.
I mean, it's just tough to get anywhere at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or in the evening in the DMV. Yeah. So the beginning of the game, I have to be honest with you, I was expecting a lot more people there. But by the time that game got to the fourth quarter, you looked up, woo!
Yeah, you can see.
And Brendan mentioned it. I mean, that crowd really, those overtimes, they needed them. They needed every man, every woman up in there. That's why you host. That's why you fight to host. Because that one at Alabama, that one, Sarah Ashley Barker, that one
She's
right there.
She's the truth. She's the truth. My goodness.
Gracious. I haven't seen a performance like that from an individual. And I went up to her after the game, and I just told her, you could tell a lot about a person in a loss just as much as you can tell in a win. Mm-hmm. She was so gracious, talking about her faith, talking about, hey, look, they're just a better team. The girl that fouled her, Sailor, I mean, they're good friends. So it was a lot. It was a good, good college basketball game. Ebbs and flows, ups and downs. It was good. It was really, really good, Doc. I said as soon as I was finished, I was going to see if you were still on the air, and I was going to be a man of my word and talk to you because, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you had to be there. You had to be there. Saw Joey Asheroff there. Saw a bunch of people. Yeah, Joey Ash was there. We were sitting together. It was just a good atmosphere. It was a good atmosphere.
Yeah. Well, Aldridge sent his regards to you, and we were reflecting on that moment at AU, and then Adrian Branch gave a shout out to you as well. So you've been mentioned, and you've been given your flowers. So just wanted you to know that. And you mentioned the name Holder, man. That's like E.F. Hutton when it comes to sports.
I just like doing my job. I love the storytelling. You know, like I said, Doc, we got into this, Ben. We got into this business to tell stories, whether it's audio, whether it's video. We want to be there for that moment. And my goodness, from the Hail Mary with the Commanders and the Bears to these games with Derek Queen and now this. I mean, this is what you cover sports for, because you never know. When you walk into a building or walk into the arena, what's going to happen? That stuff's not scripted. 45 points by that girl from Alabama, that's not scripted. My goodness, Lord have mercy. It's going to be on the highlights again. And Doc and Ben, let me tell you this. I walk into the arena, right? I walk into the arena, and it hasn't even been 24 hours. You know that they put that quote by Derek Queen, I'm from Baltimore, that's why. And they put it into a rap song that they're playing on the loudspeakers in the arena.
I saw the clips.
Lou, you can't make this stuff up.
I got a big
point
to make.
I'm from Baltimore, that's why.
With the, you mentioned giving flowers to people here, and we've given so much credit to the men's basketball team, Kevin Willard, and how they have utilized the transfer portal this year to make their team better. But when we look at the women's side, the three starting guards for this team, two of them transfers in Tibiasu and Schmeichel, those three combined for 78 points in this game. That's unbelievable. And I think we need to give Brenda even more credit because we know how legendary she is. We know she knows how to win and build a program, but now she's doing it in this new era of college basketball that is changing so fast.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Brenda has rolled with the punches. I mean, she stayed at one place long time, and she's seen it all. And you're right. Sarah, she has a flair for the dramatic. It's her three that put it into overtime, you know? So, I mean, that one right there, very senior-laden group of individuals that are playing for Brenda right now. And you're right, you got to mind the field out there. The way you coach, you have these stages in coaching. You start off the non-conference and the conference play. You have to get your team in a posture, in a position that you're ready for March. And that's what's happened. That's what happens with both Brenda and Kevin Willard. They have got their teams ready in March with the tough losses. We both saw them on both sides. The tough losses have made you better. And they were down 17. Look, when you're down 17 and they're shooting the lights out of the ball, I mean, and they in the paint. Look, 60 points for Alabama in the paint. 60! 6-0 in the paint. You're like, yo, it's a wrap. It's a wrap, but not with Brenda's team. That team fights. It takes on the persona of the head coach. That's Brenda.
And
that game is Brenda Freeze right there.
Lou, would you say with Sellers, the toughness that she showed, because that's her last game in that building, and what a career she had playing games at the Xfinity Center. She goes out on a high note, scoring 28 points to take her team to the Sweet 16. But over the past 3 years, and she goes to war. She's been through hell and back with this team over the past couple of years. This year, a couple times she has gone down and had to be carried off the floor before she comes back in the game and takes it over. I mean, what do you have to say about the toughness she's shown in a Maryland uniform and how that's going to translate to the next level for her?
I mean, she's going to be one of the great ones. She's going to be one of the great ones. She, a couple years ago, I just watched her observe as Diamond Miller and Abby Myers, they were seniors, and she watched them their last couple of games at Xfinity Center before they went into the pros. And she watched and she learned. I mean, she's playing almost like on one leg. I mean, she is hurting, and she's gritting it out, and she's toughing it out. But again, when you're leaders like that, the rest of the team follows suit. So she's kind of a, you know, I kind of equate her to the story of Julian Reese, right?
I was just about to say
those two staying and being connected to the coaches that we just mentioned have been paramount for the programs, right? Derek Queen is not coming to Maryland if Julian Reese is not there. They're both from Baltimore. You know they had conversations, you know, because, you know, Derek Queen and Flag, they were on the same Mount Verde team. That team was stacked. So Julian was big time. Him staying around was big time. And I think that Cheyenne is the glue that holds that team together. She was the one getting the crowd up. Like, look, I am not losing my last game in this building. I'm not.
And she was tiptoeing around trying not to foul out because they were trying to foul her out and couldn't do it. She's savvy. She stayed on the court. She was on the court at the very end. Survival of the fittest. And, yeah, that's going to be her legacy. You know, in that knee brace, gutting it out, fighting it out, that's going to be her legacy. That's going to be her legacy. And it's just fun to watch these moments. It's just fun to watch.
Happy ending. I mean, you can't ask for a better weekend.
No.
I mean, coming off.
No, if you're a Maryland fan, nope.
Yeah,
nope.
You just can't.
Nope. You can't. You cannot ask for a better 24 hours if you are a Maryland fan. You just can't.
Did you see any of the videos last night out there?
What's that now?
Did you see any of the videos of you know, the restaurants, the bars around College Park from last night?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. There's one shot that I watched. I've watched it like five times already. I mean, it's what happens. It's the pride that you have when your school is in the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's frustrating because I thought that was gonna be me, guys. I thought that was going to be me. I thought the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, they had two McDonald's All-Americans. They had Dylan Harper, and they had Ace Bailey. And they didn't make the tournament. They didn't make the tournament. I'm frustrated as all because I wanted that for me. But if I can't have it with my team covering the things like Maryland and Doc, and the, Doc, no, we know the history of Brenda. We know Angel Reese leaving. We know the ups and downs that program has had. And the same thing with Maryland, right? The same thing with Maryland. You don't want to be the guy. You don't want to be the guy that follows a legend, right? And Turgeon came in after Gary, and it's like, you know, it's going to be a hard road for him. Kevin Willard comes in after that, 3 years. And, man, they want to play for him. They want to play for this guy. He got the McDonald's All-American. He's got these guys out of the transfer and everything like that. Both of these coaches are doing magnificent jobs with the personnel that they have. And it's got to be mentioned, both of them. Both of them.
Yeah, so, well, you win me over as soon as you commit to on the defensive side. And you're complete, and they do. And they play hard. The three guard guards have worked out for them. Mm-hmm. And now it's a short porch. And whether they play five or seven guys, got to go 30 minutes. You just got to lock up because this is it. And that's what makes this special.
I know.
Man, I guess you got another assignment to go to after this, huh?
No, I'm going to bed, bro. I'm
You're actually
to
not
going
to work anymore?
I'm tired. Wow. I'm tired. I got suitcases underneath my eyes. This is great, though. This is a good tired. You got 2-4 seeds in Maryland going up against 1 seeds in their thing. So let's buckle up. Buckle up. We're not done. This is what March is made of, right? March is all about matchups. Yeah, going in. Ooh, Florida's this juggernaut. Ooh, Dawn Staley and South Carolina, man, they got all of these. Yo, it's all about matchups. Mm-hmm. It's all about matchups.
Well,
so,
the one thing
again,
about it, neither side, the Terps, they're not scurred.
No.
Guaranteed.
No. No.
I guarantee you that.
No. Mm-hmm.
Lou, you're priceless. We appreciate that, man. Can't wait for this upcoming weekend talking more ball right here on Overtime.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good night.
Appreciate you. You're the best.
All right. All right.
As Coach Thompson would say, simply one of the best. Dr. Lou Holder, Maryland, he's all over them turtles, man, giving it to you. This has really been, I almost feel like, well, you probably feel like you're on campus and we're doing campus radio, because it's been dominated today by the Terps, and why not? That's what winning produces. Stay with us. We'll be right back.